Well, good evening, one and all. Greetings to one and all here. Greetings to those listening on the phone and to the recording. Pleasure to be back in fellowship with you all once again and to dig into God's word of inspiration and to glean precious gems of truth and spiritual insight from his word. Pray that God has been blessing you, hearing and answering your prayers, and leading and guiding you ever closer to him as we near the end of this world's history. So welcome, dear ones. And our opening song is titled, He Lives. And you can find this wonderful hymn on our website in the home church section, under music, and then under hymns, and the actual link is lightministries.com/ID1890.htm. I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And your heart as well, dear ones. And praise God. We have a Savior that lives and is proving it each day within each one of us. Shall we pray? Dear precious Father in heaven, we meet here in the name of Jesus, and we ask that thy presence will be here with us. We give you full and complete control of tonight's meeting. And I pray, dear Father, that Jesus will be uplifted as never before, and that we may fall more in love with him after tonight's service than we did yesterday. Dear Savior, we ask that thy presence be here with us as well, and please lead and guide us to an ever closer walk with thee. And thank you for taking control of our hearts and indeed living and reigning within us. Dear Spirit, we ask that thy presence be here. Please lead and guide us into all truth. Open our eyes and understanding. Convict us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. Let us know how near the time is and how far away we are from reflecting the perfect image of our Savior. Please continue to work within us and empower us with divine grace and strength to live the life of our Savior and to keep self crucified, dead and buried. Father, I pray that thy truth will continue to lighten this dark world with thy glory. Let more and more precious souls be arrested by the truth being presented to them. Let them become curious. Let them study it out for themselves. And please prevent the devil from snatching away the seeds of truth. Let them not be stony or wayward hearers. Let not the cares of this life choke away the seed of truth, that it doesn't grow and profit them. Let them be good-hearted, honest individuals, and indeed bring them out of Babylon into thy marvelous kingdom of righteousness. We thank you, Father, and claim the promise that your word will not come back void without accomplishing its purpose. And thank you so much that this dark world is being lightened with the glory of our Savior as the waters cover the sea. We also pray that you'll be with those who have requested prayers. Please hear and answer their petitions and requests according to thy perfect will. Be with those who are unable to attend. And I pray, dear Father, that you'll continue to work in their life. Lead and guide them ever closer to thee and closer to one another, so that we may fulfill the last prayer of our Savior found in John 17, that we on this wicked earth, beset with fallen human nature, may be able to perfect our characters in righteousness in Christ and indeed be united closely with one another as you are united with the Father. Thank you so much for doing so. Thank you so much for hearing and answering this prayer. Thank you so much for being with us now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God indeed, dear ones, for another day of life, another opportunity to come together and to worship our God in union with one another. So it's good to see you all once again. We're continuing in our study book of Colossians, and we're in chapter 1, down to verse 24. And we left off last time talking about how Paul admonished the believers there in Colossae, as well as all of those that would be reading the New Testament letter to them, that they were to be grounded and settled in the faith so that they could not be moved away from the gospel. And each of us needs to be settled into the truth, allowing the truth to ground us in Jesus Christ. And indeed, if we fall upon the rock and become broken in heart, humble in spirit, asking for the balm of Gilead to heal us and cleanse us, then we will indeed be filled with the fullness of righteousness and may become just like Christ in character. But if we remain proud and stubborn, then in the end we're going to be grounded to powder and we will not be saved. So all heaven is interested in our salvation, and the Godhead has made everything possible that we not only could hear the truth, that we not only could be cleansed from all of our past sins, that we not only can be clothed in the precious righteousness of our Savior, but we can also be settled, grounded, and fixed into the truth so that we cannot possibly be shaken off the platform of eternal truth. In Christ, all things are possible. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 24. Who now rejoice, or Paul, that has been made a minister according to the calling of Jesus Christ, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, there's a lot in this verse. Paul here mentions that he's going through sufferings because of the gospel that he preaches and the people that have accepted the message. And here he says that he rejoices in these sufferings. Can you imagine bringing the truth of Jesus Christ to an individual and then having to suffer jail time or suffer physical abuse, being beat up or tortured because you led that individual to the Savior? And then while going through that suffering and remembering it as you're explaining it to others, being joyful that you could be tortured so that someone else could receive Christ. That would truly take dedication and devotion to the Lord. That would take a crucifixion of self to have it completely hid and not seek revenge against those who caused you that suffering. And that would take love for Christ to rejoice in it, because you recognize that Christ suffered so much more than you could ever suffer. And so in the little bit of suffering that you're going through, you recognize how much Christ went through for you. And thus your heart just falls more and more in love with him. And if he asks you to suffer for his sake that others may be saved, you rejoice to say, "Yes, Lord. Here am I." That type of self-sacrifice and dedication to Christ was Paul's life. Is it your life? So often we find ourselves with a very limited view of what's going on, and we end up tunnel visioning the events of the day as being directly focused upon our little world. And so we view things with the eye of selfishness. How does it affect me? What am I going to do regarding this? What are others going to think about me? When we need to have a much wider view of what's taking place. Paul rejoiced to be afflicted in Christ's cause for the benefit of his body, which is the church. So whatever would benefit the body of Christ, his church, his people, Paul was willing to go through, to endure. Are we willing to endure the same? If it was God's will that you went on a missionary trip, and this missionary trip took you away from your friends and loved ones and family for 5 years, would you do it? Would you be willing to suffer the separation from friends and loved ones, from even your own husband or wife, from fellowship with others of like faith, in order to reach souls and bring them to Christ? Paul was willing to do that, to suffer the loss of all things that he might win some to Christ. Now, God is not calling everyone to do that, but everyone is to sacrifice their own interests for the cause of Christ. So have you placed all on the altar? Or have you said, I'm willing to place most, but not this, Lord. This I have to reserve for myself. Is everything on the altar that you might win Christ? It's a question we each need to ask ourselves. Do we have something in our affections that is greater than our love for Christ? We each need to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. And plead for the Holy Spirit to open our understanding and give us a view of ourselves that we need so that we can see how far away we are from where we should be at the side of Christ. There's Christians that have been in the faith for decades, and yet, when you examine their lives, they're not as close to Christ in character as they should be with all that time in the message. Now, we're not to measure ourselves among ourselves, but we're to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. How long have we been in the message? How much truth do we know? How far upward on that straight and narrow path have we climbed hand in hand with Christ? Are we still back near the beginning? All these questions we need to ask ourselves and be honest with ourselves. Paul rejoiced to suffer the loss of all things that he might build up the body of Christ for his sake. What are we willing to sacrifice for God's cause? That we might help build up the body of Christ. And will we rejoice to do it? Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, dear ones? Please feel free.
Hello. Hi. Good evening. I asked, is something we should be talking about this tonight? Because there's something, well, I know I shared 2 weeks ago. I'm starting to share the Word of God with, you know, with others, you know, with the woman named Angela. And, well, what happened, you know, last week? There was a death in the family. Somebody I'm very close to, and I've been kind of dealing with it. And the thing is that the day we were supposed to schedule a meeting for Bible study, I end up finding out about my uncle's passing away, and then I was kind of a mess, and I forgot about the Bible study. And then when she called me, she was a bit upset with me. And, you know, I always willing to give the Word of God, you know, and everything. I don't want to I don't want to, like, come in and have the Bible study and I'm sobbing all over the place. You know, I kind of feel like it will probably interrupt the study and hinder the focus from being on Christ to being on me and how and what I'm going through. So even though she wants to, you know, have Bible study, you know, had I not been in this situation, I would automatically, you know, yeah, no problem. But I've even questioned myself and asked the Lord, Lord, am I hindering the gospel right now? By the time, like this time, I could be giving the gospel, but I've kind of dealing with it, you know? And everyone deals with grief differently, but I guess, you know, because of me dealing with it, I haven't been sleeping, you know? And then when morning comes and my body finally cracks down and I, you know, will fall asleep, it's just that, you know, I end up waking up later, I kind of feel like, after when I get up, I feel like guilty because I could be having a study with her, but I'm kind of in the realms of mourning. So how would that, am I going to be held accountable, you know, because I know we're going to be held accountable to time that we have and stuff, but it's these Bible studies that really helps me. So I don't know what the Lord consider me.
Oh, dear sister, I'm so sorry to know about the death of a dear loved one. And may God's comforting grace and loving arms be around you and help you through this time. When you look in the scriptures regarding the priesthood, they were not allowed to be relieved of their responsibilities for all types of death in the family. And it goes through and says if it's the death of a spouse or the death of a child or a sister or brother, that they would be allowed for a period of time to set aside their duties and take care of the death in the family, immediate family, and to have a period of mourning. So I don't, you know, you're correct. We each handle our emotions differently. And different individuals mourn and grieve in different ways. And sometimes our mourning is intensified by feelings of grief. Grief that we didn't do more to help them. Grief that maybe their probation closed on the wrong side and they're lost. You know, self-remonstrance can intensify our period of mourning. And I'm not quite sure, you know, what battles are taking place in your life, but I do know that when a person dies, their probation is closed. There's no possible way that if it closed outside of Christ, they can get back into Christ. And if it closed on the side of Christ, then there's nothing to worry about. If it closed outside of Christ, there's nothing you can do about it. So, in the issue of whether they're saved or lost, you have to give that up to God. God knows, and there's nothing that you can do to change it. So leave that issue with God. If it's dealing with guilt because you could have done more, then take that to God and say, Lord, forgive me and help me to do better with others. And then believe that God has forgiven you and then move forward and do better with others. If it's just mourning because you're no longer able to talk to or to be with that loved one, my heart goes out to you, dear sister. And I praise God for the Spirit being the comforter. And there is comfort to know and understand that when Christ comes, our loved ones that are found hid in Christ will indeed be reunited back with us if we're faithful to the end. So death is a terrible thing, but following the Lord and leading others to follow the Lord is the best thing to do. And it can be very hard to put your emotions down in order to lead others to Christ. That's something that we each have to battle with. And I pray that God's Spirit will indeed comfort you and encourage you and help you to get over this time. Are there any other thoughts or questions? Any other comments, dear ones? Any other things that you'd like to share? Please feel free. Well, dear ones, let us go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And any that would like to pray, please feel free to do so, and I'll go ahead and start. So let us please bow our heads and our knees if possible. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you are in control of all things. We thank you, Father, that you've created humanity with emotions. Pray that you will sanctify our emotions, purify and cleanse them, that we will not give in to the emotions as the worldling does, but that we will allow these emotions to keep us in the straight and narrow. We know that our Savior suffered emotions in the death of those close to him, and even though he knew that they would rise back up in just an hour or so, yet he still was moved with grief and was crying because his heart was moved in sympathy for suffering humanity. We thank you, dear Savior, for being the resurrection and the life, and all those that are hid in thee will indeed come forth to immortality when you come again. I pray, Father, that you'll send your Spirit to be in a special way with our dear sister and with the grieving relatives that are going through this time of mourning for a loved one, that you will encourage them, comfort them, and also awaken them to know how fragile life is and how short time is. And that there's only hope for life after death found in Jesus Christ. And so help them to awaken to the time of night and how soon the end is. And help them to get ready. Please help our dear sister and those connected with her to have the words of wisdom to know how to give the message of salvation to their family members as they meet together. And please prepare hearts, dear Father, to receive the truth and to be curious to want to know more about the Savior who can indeed raise the dead back to life. Father, I pray that you'll be with those individuals that have already received you but have allowed their first love to wane or perhaps even die out completely. Please renew in their hearts a love and devotion and adoration for the Savior and to regain their first love. To recognize that there's nothing in this world that can possibly eclipse the value and the preciousness of the Savior. He's the chief among 10,000. He's the one altogether lovely. He's that pearl of great price. He's that living water that can quench all thirst. Help them to see that and break the spell, the attraction of the world and worldly things and other false gods that have taken up a place in their heart, eclipsing the Lord from view. Father, break up all idols in our hearts. Blow them away like chaff. so that Jesus can be planted there. And he can indeed be the only one ruling in our hearts. Thank you, Father, that this world is being filled with thy glory. And thank you for allowing each one listening here to have a part in enlarging your kingdom and bringing more precious souls directly to Jesus Christ to become part of his body, part of his church. Thank you for this privilege and honor of being ordained to take the gospel and live it and share it with others. Please help us to know what our talent is to use for thy glory. Help us indeed to use it through your grace and strength and to have it multiplied into more, that indeed we may fulfill the purpose for which you allowed us to have life just for such a time as this, in this particular part of the great controversy. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Dear Lord, I pray that you would comfort our dear sister Keisha and all the family at this time. I pray for her uncle's mother, Keisha's grandmother, who she was concerned about, and for his two sons, his companion, Keisha's father, his brother, Sister Sheila, for all of them, Lord. I pray that you would draw very near to these hearts of those who don't know you, Lord, and that the Spirit of God would move upon their hearts in conviction and fear of the Lord, fear for their own souls. And I pray that you would strengthen Keisha in this situation, and also in this situation with Angela, who is seeking, and help her to know that you're over all the circumstances of the timing, that you have allowed this timing and it is for the best, and help her to trust in that and to, as our brother elder has said, to go on and be that light to Angela, even despite the suffering, because truly, when we are very sober and when we are sad, when we are taking it and looking to the Lord, we are strengthened and we are even better able to minister to others, because we are looking at eternity and our thoughts are drawn to their souls in a much more serious way. And I pray that you would work the grace in Keisha's heart and in all their hearts that you desire in this very difficult time. Give wisdom and insight, much comfort, Lord. And I know that you will, and that's your desire for them. Pray for Angela, for her soul, and for the neighbor who came over a couple of weeks ago. And I pray that you'd help those who know you in this particular situation, Sister Keisha and Sheila, Brother Sean, to be a light to those who don't know you, the strength and the true comfort of Christ Jesus amidst this great suffering, and that it would be a real comfort, Lord. In Jesus' name.
And amen. Well, a scripture song comes to mind. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52.
Well, I'd like to sing a song, but I kind of have to preface it a little bit because it's that song that I told you all I'd put to music. Well, the Lord gave me the melody for the scripture when, in my own sorrows, that I've had in my life since being a Christian, actually. But it's something that most people wouldn't make a song out of, but it's been a great comfort to me because it's true. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's not that scripture, but it's a call to me in my heart. This scripture is a call to soberness, to knowing that we don't know, any of us, if we have another day. We don't know if those we love the most have another day. We don't know if they'll go to heaven or hell, you know, the grave. We don't. And it is something I've asked the Lord for the past several years to give me a sober walk and a sober mind always, so I don't fall into levity, or, you know, that I keep a good perspective on reality. So that's why I want to sing this song, because there is benefit in mourning of whatever type when it's in Christ, whether it's the death of someone or whatever. But I'd like to sing it now and pray the Lord would bless it to hearts, any that may be. You know, it's been a blessing to me. It's Ecclesiastes 7:2-4. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth.
Amen. Amen. That was beautiful, even though it dealt with that emotionally charged subject. So, amen. Amen. There was anything else that you'd like to share? Any other songs that you'd like to sing, or other comments or questions, other thoughts? Please feel free.
Hi, Father Dad. Could you sing It Is Well With My Soul, please? And I just wanted to say, you know, I guess, no, you know, I don't really do good with issues of death and stuff, but one of the ways I guess I try to deal with it is to, I guess, be around a, like, you know, a lot of happiness and singing and stuff. So, I know that you guys, you know, are praying for me and everything. But please, you know, continue with, you know, the happiness and the upliftingness and the praising God. Because, you know, those are things that help, you know, uplift us, uplift the heart, you know. Praising God and His word is always, you know, help the process to go. I guess sure. I've been trying to do whatever I can to make the mourning process speed up, you know. So every once in a while, yeah, I would tear up, but I try not to. Try to keep the love of God and happiness, you know, in the atmosphere.
Well, there's been a request for the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. So let me go ahead and sing it for you. I don't have the lyrics in the room. I had to look them up online. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Hi everyone. How is everybody? I'm fine and stuff. I'm just, you know, helping, you know, Sister Keisha and my wife, you know, through this grieving process. And I'm trying to do my part as best as I can. And the Lord is helping both of us with that. There's a song that I would like to sing that I think can you know, help with the grieving process as well. You know, to let, you know, people that are grieving know that, you know, Jesus is still near. Brother Dad, do you have the song "Just When I Need Him Most"? If not, I have "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." So do you have that one song, "Just When I Need Him Most"? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Just when I need Him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him, Jesus is true, never forsaking all the way through, giving for burdens, pleasures anew. Just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him, Jesus is strong, bearing my burdens all the day long. For all my sorrow, giving a song. Just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need Him, just when I need Him, He is my all, answering when upon Him I call, tenderly watching lest I should fall. Just when I need Him, just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most,
Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him.
And the other song that I would like to sing is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not care. Everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden?
Amen. And thank you for those wonderful hymns. Well, dear ones, may God bless. May he continue to lead and guide. May he continue to work in your life, to comfort, to strengthen, to encourage, and to indeed lead you into life everlasting. And until we meet again, go with God, and I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John 11:25-26. He that believeth shall never die. So keep looking up, dear ones.